Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Tiger roars faded away, and the last man standing at the 100th PGA Championship was Brooks Koepka. There was a stretch for Brooks in which he missed on three consecutive holes with birdie attempts. So he ended up with pars, but could not get another birdie for a stretch of three holes. It looked like he was either going to forfeit the lead or the masses, not everyone, but the majority was going to get what it wanted with Tiger Woods hard charging. And for a while there were flashes of, wow, this is what it used to be. Though generally Tiger wasn't coming from behind. I think he's only done that once in his career, come from behind after 54 holes to win a major. Usually he was on top and everyone else was chasing him. But the roars were eerily similar to what they used to be. And it's crazy how 10 years have passed. It's been 10 and a half years actually now since Tiger has won his last major. But also how quickly people forget. He's now a sympathetic figure. He's a likable guy. He's different than he was 10 years ago when he had his fall from grace, when he was exposed for everything that was happening behind that mask. But he's not only rehabbed his game, he's rehabbed his image, either intentionally or just because he's been so humbled. He's a different guy. And now he hopes to get his game back to the place where even though his physical body is different, he can still win. Tiger now has 11 top 10 finishes at majors since 2009. 11 of them since he last won at the U.S. Open in 2008. He's finished in the top 10 11 times. But this was his first time in the top five at a major since the Masters of 2013. So they've been sporadic. Weirdly enough, because of how low the scores were at this PGA Championship, Bellerive was the complete opposite of the U.S. Open when people were complaining because there was nobody under par and because the course was too hard. This course was easy for them, not obviously for you and I. But this was the lowest round for Tiger Woods ever on the final day of a major, a 64, even though he only hit 5 of 14 available fairways. Odd, right? On the 11th, his birdie putt sat there on the lip and would not take that final rotation into the bottom of the cup. But he birdied 12, he birdied 13, he birdied 15, and he birdied 18. To give him sole possession of second place. And I tell you what, that fist pump on 18, it's like he won the tournament. And for Tiger, it was pretty damn close to winning, that feeling of winning. He started the year 656 in the world rankings, and he's now back inside the top 30 in the world. Nerd alert! He played 14 tournaments in 2018. He still has a few to go. Nerd alert! It's much louder. But in those 14 events, if you were worried about consistency, he had 5 finishes in the top 10. And physically, mentally, you can see his stamina is increasing. His toughness is back. He was exhausted after the final round on Sunday. He admitted it. He was fatigued, both physically and mentally. But he's been able to build up to this point where his physical body can withstand the rigors of 4 days challenging for a major win. And that's huge. You know, we sometimes talk about it with football players. Like Andrew Luck is a great example of this right now. Or with basketball players. Steph Curry was a good example during the season. When they're on the shelf because of injuries, it takes them a while to shake off the rust and to build up that stamina and that physical toughness again, the ability to grind, to keep going, to persevere to the end. You have to build that back up. And it took Tiger Woods all year, let's just say for the sake of argument that in 2018, the PGA Championship's in May, like it will be moving forward. Let's say this tournament is in the spring. There's no way he can withstand everything that he did at Bellerive if this tournament is earlier in the year, because he's not physically ready, mentally ready to be where he was today. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Sunday night as we cruise into a Monday morning. Tiger Woods is one of the candidates for our latest Man Crush Monday poll. So is Brooks Koepka. Hashtag MCM. You can find it on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I like the fact that there was a smiling Tiger there greeting Brooks Koepka when he finally got to the scorer's cabin once the round and the tournament were over.
Played with him in practice round. He was literally hitting it 340, 315 in the air. And when a guy's doing that and hitting it straight, and as good a putter as he is, it's tough to beat.
Pretty obvious when Tiger makes a birdie. I think everybody at the golf course cheers for him. I'm sure everyone was rooting for him.
So Tiger Woods and Brooks Koepka complimentary of one another. And I like how Brooks says, I'm sure everybody was rooting for him. Well, not everybody, but the majority. Not your girlfriend, not your mom, not your brother. It was the first time that Brooks' mom had been there at a tournament to see him win in the final round. And that was kind of neat. Plus, his brother was there. You could tell it was his brother, even if you couldn't hear the announcers saying that this was Brooks' brother. Not only does he look like him, but the muscles are similar. They need bigger shirts. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. As promised, I did post a picture. I mean, it's a close-up. It's a good thing my homemade salsa was ready for a close-up, because I put you in the bowl with my homemade salsa. But it's up on Twitter, or actually, I didn't put it up on Facebook yet, that I will. I do love the fact that there are jalapeno emojis. I don't actually like jalapenos much. They serve a purpose in this world, but I'm not great with them. It's my first time ever dicing jalapeno peppers, which I guess is a testament to you're never too old to try something new. And so I'm kind of proud of the salsa. Next time, maybe I'll make enough for everyone. There's not much left. It was a really good weekend for me, despite a deluge in my neighborhood. Man, there was flooding on Saturday. My poor dog was a mess. The thunderstorm started at 7:00 in the morning on Saturday, and I decided to go do my errands anyway. So my grocery shopping required a towel, but I was smart enough to take a towel with me. And it was great because there was hardly anybody in the stores. And when there were, people were afraid of getting wet. So they were either still sitting in their cars or they were standing inside the entryway to the grocery store. And meanwhile, I was tooling around with my towel, unafraid of the water, mind you. And so that was part of my weekend. It's a short work week for me. Hope you don't mind, but I'm going to visit. Are you doing a fist pump over the fact that it's a short work week for me?
For me too.
Chris is really excited because I'm going to be out for a couple of days this week, but I guess he is as well. It's a weirdly timed fist pump. So I'm going to be out later this week because I get to see my Grammy Helen, 96-year-old Grammy in Wisconsin. She's got a new home. She moved in April, and I haven't seen her since Super Bowl weekend. I drove from Minneapolis to her home in Wisconsin at the time to visit her, but it was only for 48 hours then. And so I get to spend a few days with her, and I am going to Lambeau Field for the first time ever. So it's going to be a great week between homemade salsa and an awesome final round at the PGA Championship and NFL preseason and baseball drama. And then forget the work, family time, and my first trip to Lambeau, which is a bucket list item. Yeah, this is going to be an awesome week. And yes, there will be pictures, of course. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Let's talk to Jake. Let's try to talk to Jake again in Arlington. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how are you, Ann?
I'm good.
Great. Great golf today. Great baseball. You know, what I hope happens with this next go-around with Tiger, in addition to him seeming to, you know, take it in and enjoy it, is that earlier caller talked about Jack. Well, Tiger hasn't finished, as we all know, second a lot. But that younger generation that's not afraid of him, it would be cool if it's sort of like Tiger against that generation. You know, each different major, there's, you know, Rory, whether he's stepping up, or Spieth, Ricky Fowler, the whole list, kind of going like
Dustin
a little
Johnson.
Bit of a generational battle. Because they respect him. They have no reason to fear him. In fact, what makes them good golfers is growing up and watching him play. One comment about the baseball today. Watching it, I'm talking about the Grand Slam walk-off. So the pitcher hits two guys, right? Then he lets go of that pitch or holds on too long. It bounces 4.5 feet in front of the plate. And I'm sitting here watching that going, that's a problem. He's, you know, missing his mechanics because he's already hit two guys. So what's he do? He takes a little bit off that next fastball that he's got to throw for a strike, and the dude made him pay. It was being that wanting the knots to win, it hurt. But you could almost see it coming. Anyway, thanks for taking my call. I love the show.
Thanks, Jake. Have a good night in Arlington. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of you weighing in now on Facebook, whether it's about the tournament and how you felt watching the final round of the PGA Championship or about your candidate for Man Crush Monday. And as I was saying last hour, it's very rare that we spend an entire show on one topic or the majority of a show. I will talk some other things as we get through this show. For instance, the weirdest punishment I've ever heard of in the NFL. But it's so fitting. Anyway, so we will talk about some other topics, but generally, it's the nights when teams win championships. So most recently, well, I actually wasn't on the air the night that the Golden State Warriors won the title this year, but the night before that was the Washington Capitals with their first ever Stanley Cup, and we spent the entire show on that. But Sunday after a golf major, generally, if it's a good finish, we'll spend a good portion of the show on it. And this one had a little more zest to it, to be sure. It had a few more hashtag Tiger roars. That was the one that I was using Sunday. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then again, our Facebook page, too, and I'll get to some of your comments. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. As I say, this is a step for Brooks Koepka that he wasn't sure he was going to take. Not just winning another major and his first time at the PGA Championship, but he missed months of this season because of a wrist injury. He was out for 4 months. He actually didn't compete in the first major in 2018, which is the Masters.
To going from not even sure if I'm going to be able to play again to even playing this year, playing the same way, and to come back out, it's actually mind-boggling. I don't have an answer for it, but I'm glad it happened.
He's unflappable. Every now and then you'll see the hint of a smile. He certainly was joyful and emotional when he saw his girlfriend and then his mom and his brother after he finished. But the most you'll ever get from him is like when he misses a birdie putt. He'll kind of chastise himself briefly. But for the most part, he keeps it inside that armor of his. It's just his personality. And it serves him well in the face of this wave, this tidal wave of emotion for other guys, in this case, a Tiger Woods. But you got to give it to him. He went back and forth with Dustin Johnson the final round of the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills and prevailed, his second consecutive U.S. Open, and now does the same thing with different golfers. Adam Scott actually tied him for the lead for a few holes. Justin Thomas was there on the front nine before he faded. Tiger Woods pulled within a shot of the lead. And still, dust settling, Brooks Koepka is the last man standing. All right, so check us out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Man Crush Monday poll, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. We'll get back to your calls. I love it. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
2-2 on David Bodie, trying to come through. And the pitch on the way. Bodie drives one in the air. Deep center field. Back goes Taylor. It's got a chance. It's a grand slam. A grand slam for David Bodie. And the Cubs have won the ball game. Can you believe it?
Wow. When you're around those bases and you know, we got the W, and you're seeing my teammates at home plate jumping around and you got the win, it's just... that's magical. It's incredible. It's an unbelievable feeling. Couldn't happen to a better team, a better group of people in that clubhouse, and I'm so blessed and honored to be part of it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Apologize for the poor audio there. It was hard to hear. David Bode talking about the excitement of sharing the celebration after a walk-off grand slam with his Cubs teammates. And he certainly is worthy of a spot in our Man Crush Monday poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I voted for David Bode. As much as I love the golf, David Bode's story is awesome. His latest home run, he's had three since he's been with the Cubs in 34 games, but his latest home run is the most dramatic, a walk-off grand slam. You heard it with Pat Hughes on the Cubs Radio Network. Comes off Ryan Madsen with two outs in the ninth on Sunday Night Baseball. And here is Bode, who has spent the better part of 6 years in the minor leagues, toiling up and down, and then gets a shot with the Cubs this season, but it's not permanent. He joins the major league team one time, and then he's back to the minors. And then he returns to the Cubs, and then he's back to the minors. Five different times that happens until he's stuck now, filling in for Chris Bryant. Has he earned himself a spot on the big league roster? You'd think so. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We won't spend a whole lot of time on the baseball standings right now, not at this point. But I always enjoy seeing how they morph and change, how things are different coming out of a weekend. And a couple of things caught my eye. First, the Cubs are now at 68 wins, still the most in the National League, and they've got a three-game cushion in the NL Central. The Diamondbacks and Dodgers essentially are flipping back and forth, first and second place in the NL West every day. It's just how it goes. Rockies got a walk-off walk and actually took the last three games from the Dodgers, and a lot of that is because of the bullpen. So they had back-to-back walk-offs, did the Rockies. And Kenley Jansen, who's dealing with the irregular heartbeat, could be out 6 weeks for the Dodgers. It might not be that long, but you can see the bullpen is hurting. And Los Angeles has given up now two late wins, or wins on back-to-back walk-offs. But also, before that even, against the Rockies, it was the bullpen that coughed up the lead. So the Dodgers are a game back in the NL West. We have a virtual tie atop the NL East between the Braves and the Phillies. And still, the Nationals languish there in the world of mediocrity. One step forward, two steps back. Two steps forward, one step back. They're just, they've been the same all season long, hovering within two games of 500 and really not getting a whole lot closer to either Atlanta or Philadelphia. In the American League, a four-game sweep by the Mariners of the World Series champion Houston Astros has made the AL West so much tighter. So the Astros now are only up by two games over the A's, who've won eight of their last 10 and continue this torrid pace they're on going back to June. And the Mariners are now nearly 20 games above 500, but have pulled themselves within four of the lead in the AL West. So that's pretty amazing. And one more note from Major League Baseball. I saw a couple of write-in votes for J.D. Martinez of the Red Sox for MCM. Get this, the Red Sox are 50 games above 500. 50. That's insane. They're 85-35 after winning 9 of their last 10. They swept the Orioles over the weekend. And listen to this. The Orioles are 49.5 games back. Isn't that crazy? So I'm not sure what's stranger, that the Red Sox are 50 games above 500 or that the Orioles are 50 games back in the division. Oh my gosh. Hashtag Facepalm Friday. We're not even there yet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. Love to hear from you after the final round at Bellerive, the PGA Championship. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Let's see. Let's talk to Brian, who's in Pittsburgh. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the
I wanted to congratulate you for handling that caller that was so dismissive and ugly and rude to you.
Well, thank you, Brian, but it's not the first time. Trust me, it happens almost weekly.
Well,
so
okay.
I'm used to it.
No, it's all good. I mean, you did it well. Tiger's electrifying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really gets the crowd in there. And I'm on the way wrong side of 40. And
is there a wrong side to 40? I don't think so.
Well, when you approach 50, yeah.
No, come on. You talk about age like it's some death knell or something. Are you kidding? My grandma's 96, and she's the coolest chick I know.
Hey, isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
And no, I can still knock it out there pretty long, and I can still putt. No, it was electrifying. It was nice to see inspiration in the game again. And Koepka is a total specimen. As you said, they need bigger shirts.
I mean, I was joking, but his mental approach to the game is just as impressive as the physical.
Yeah, I mean, the discipline, it's wonderful. I used to play tournament golf, and so I've kind of been there, done that, and well, not on that level, absolutely not. But no, it's just you know what? I'm going to sound patronizing here because what the guy said. And you're really funny, and in a great way. Raise the Jolly Rancher.
I know my friends have had such a good time with that. I woke up
you have raised your audience level here in Pittsburgh like probably three times
by saying raise the Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
Great. It's fantastic. I'm sure people are thrilled. I got some pretty juicy tweets from Pittsburgh. And every time someone yelled at me for whatever they yelled at me for, I laughed even harder. It was obviously not on purpose. And my friends are having such a good time with it. A friend of mine from Rhode Island sent me a picture. I woke up to this on Sunday morning. She's holding the Jolly Roger. I don't know where she got the Jolly Roger from, but she's holding the Jolly Roger. And the title of the email says, Raise the Jolly Rancher. So friends all over the country have heard it and somehow have decided that it's the funniest thing ever. So, yeah, I'm hearing it from people I know as well as people I don't know.
It's totally endearing, and you're a class act, and I
thank you.
Really appreciate it. And
all right, Brian.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. Have a great Monday. Yeah, that's what I woke up to on Sunday. I'm not sharing the picture with you, but I wrote back to her and I said, Louise, were you listening to my show? Because I didn't know that she listened to my show. She had never mentioned it before. And she said, no, my husband listens and he told me about it. And he made me hold up this flag and take a picture. So yeah, she sent me a picture of her holding up the Jolly Roger flag. And the title was Jolly Rancher, of course, because that's my new claim to fame when it comes to the Pirates. Hey, can I just say, that's my favorite ballpark in the major. I love going to games at PNC Park, and I love it when they raise the Jolly Roger. I had Jolly Rancher on the brain and didn't even know it for a good 10 minutes. And still, the more people yelled at me, the harder I laughed. It was an innocent mistake. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook as well as on CBS Sports Radio. Excited that you're excited about Brooks Koepka and Tiger Woods and the drama of Sunday's final round at Belrive and the golf fans that did St. Louis proud. All of that we're talking about as we head through the show. 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Golf fans and non-golf fans alike are buzzing about the final round at Belrive. It was pretty cool to watch. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, it reminded me of football Twitter. So I watch sporting events, big sporting events, with my Twitter open most of the time, because not only do I get running facts and commentary from others who cover the sport more extensively, but also you get the commentary from people who are watching as fans. People in my industry generally is who I follow, or other athletes. So Twitter has worked for me. People ask me all the time, will you follow me back? But I use Twitter only to follow athletes and insiders and reporters, because it's work for me. I mean, it's not necessarily fun. I would not ever log on to Twitter if it weren't for what I do for a living. But because I do, that's how I limit the people that I follow. If you can understand, to follow fans, every fan who follows me, I'd never see the actual news, as my Twitter timeline would be flooded with a lot of fan commentary, which I can't afford. Let's just be honest, I'm not all that interested in all the time. Plus, you guys use language that I just do not use. Anyway, back to the point. The point is that I was watching golf Twitter, Sunday golf Twitter, with the same intrigue that I do watch football Twitter on Sundays. And it was almost entirely about the PGA Championship. Not all. There's a little baseball here and there. But because there were no football preseason games, you didn't have that going on. And so it was a little bit like what we had Thursday, when there were a dozen different preseason games in the NFL. And pretty much every trend on Twitter had to do with the NFL. Well, that's how it was on Sunday. Or couple of baseball trends here and there, but for the most part, it was all about the PGA Championship and Brooks Koepka and Tiger Woods and Adam Scott, and for a while, Justin Thomas, who was the defending champion but really fell off. And you could tell how frustrated he was. He had a hard time on the back nine after challenging for the lead on the front. And maybe part of it was the delay. There were a couple of different delays he had to wait through for rulings for his playing partner. At one point, his partner had even finished getting a ruling from the officials there at the PGA, and he just went ahead and chipped up on the green because he was so frustrated with the delay.
14 was a bummer, but I made great putts there on 10 and 11 and 12, and then a good second putt there on 13, and then 14, I don't really know what happened. I should have never been there. I mean, I had a wedge in my hand. I should have had it inside 10 feet for birdie, and that just kind of killed all my momentum.
So Justin Thomas clearly and visibly frustrated on the back nine when he became a non-factor. However, he was the defending champ there, and he did put himself in a position by the way he golfed earlier in the tournament. And even on the front nine, there were a couple of fist pumps and birdies that dropped for him, too. Interesting note about Tiger Woods, and this is perspective. If you didn't see him in his heyday, so it's been 10 plus years since he won a major, the 2008 U.S. Open, but his PGA championship, the front nines, if you break the tournament down by front nine and back nine, his first nine holes, his first half on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he was minus 13, meaning he was 13 strokes under par cumulatively on the front nine this week. That's the best he's ever played any front nine of a major in his career. I mean, this guy's got 14 major tournaments to his credit. He's got another nearly 10 runner-up finishes in his career, seven of those coming at majors. So I know people make a lot of Jack Nicklaus and how many times he finished runner-up in majors, and he certainly has. Tiger's finished now seven times runner-up in majors. And so he's put himself in position that many more times. But this tournament out Belrive, the best he's ever played any front nine of any major in his entire career. So he was making personal history and hitting personal milestones, even though he didn't end up winning. And that should tell you something about the strength of the field that he's now competing with. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. London is listening in Sacramento. London, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy.
Hey.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Keeps me happy all the time. Tiger Woods was amazing. Last year, when Athlete of the Year came out, you had asked us to predict who we might think who would be Athlete of the Year this year. And I said that it might be Tiger Woods. He won a major tour. He was competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's going to be him this year, obviously. He hasn't won. But he's played well in these last two tournaments. And these last two tournaments have been the first time I've actually sat down and watched golf in a long time because he was playing competitively.
Sure.
I watched golf for 2 hours a day, which is unprecedented in my life. but I have to say that I'm that much more impressed with Koepka.
Yes.
Because the big thing about Tiger when he was great, when he was winning all those majors back-to-back, was that not only was he good, but the rest of the field, the people that were playing with him, were literally intimidated by him. Him being there made them play worse.
Mm-hmm.
They had stats to back that up. And so if you're Koepka, you're playing arguably the best golfer of all time. You're hearing the cheers. You know he's out there. As I said, there's a tiger lurking out there somewhere in the jungle. And you know that he's out there, and you have to play. He played a perfect round to win. After you just said Tiger had a historical day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, just, I think, is back to my claim that not only is Koepka great, but I think that Tiger can win. I think that he is still in the hearts of the American people. You have a great night, Amy. I really enjoy the show. Hopefully I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, London. Thanks for calling in from Sacramento. Yeah, as much as Tiger Woods had his own personal history, so did Brooks Koepka. And for Brooks, he actually set the scoring record for the PGA Championship. So his cumulative score was 264 over four rounds. And that's the lowest total ever for 72 rounds at a PGA Championship. So essentially a round with no playoff. His third major title, for him, it's come in six tries. So Koepka did not participate in this year's Masters because he was still rehabbing from a wrist injury that kept him out 4 months. As London points out, he answered the call. There were three straight birdies for him on 7, 8, and 9. And then he went through a stretch where he had a bunch of birdie putts and he couldn't capitalize. And that's when Tiger was making his run. So consider this. This is kind of how it went. Tiger was two pairs ahead of Brooks Koepka on the course. As Koepka is leaving potential birdies out there on 10, 11, 12, Tiger is birding 12, 13, and then 15. And so you have these two things going on at the same time. And for a moment there, it looked like Brooks wasn't going to be able to hang on to this win because he's not capitalizing on his birdie chances while Tiger is dropping birdies on 12, 13, and 15. And 15 was this pin-seeking approach shot that got him within 2 feet of the hole. And the roars are getting louder. So yeah, for Brooks not to falter, he did not bogey after number five. So Brooks Koepka started out with, I remember what it was, a two-stroke lead, maybe a one-stroke lead to start the day. But he bogeys 4 and 5. And then he doesn't bogey again. The rest of his round, after number five, was a bogey-free round. And so steady and focused and tenacious, unflappable. These are all things you could say about Brooks Koepka. Mentally, the mental toughness. 855-212-4227. And a lot of you weighing in on Facebook want to share some of these. Peter says, Brooks Koepka by far is my man crush Monday. Calm and mental toughness while facing unrelenting pressure. Scott says on Facebook, Brooks is my man crush Monday, third major fat paycheck. And so he looks at Tiger and he says, moral victory, yes, but not an actual victory. If nothing else, he did prove he's not done just yet. It's funny that people say that, and I know that's a popular take, but I feel like Tiger has proved that already. This was his 14th tournament of the year, and I'm sure you do remember if you were watching, he actually had sole possession of the lead at the Open 3 weeks ago. On the final round, he just couldn't close it out. But yeah, this season, he's had 5 finishes in the top 10. So we've seen this from Tiger. Just the PGA Championship, St. Louis, the crowds, the mano-e-mano, that part was fun. Vladimir says on Facebook, I've missed the Sunday Red Tiger. Tiger is back. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard that phrase from fans over the last 10 years. let's get to one more call here. Jonathan is in Dallas. Jonathan, you've got about 90 seconds. Go.
Hey, Amy Lawrence. I just wanted to say I love the show and thank love you. You're awesome.
Thank you.
So I wanted to touch base, bring it back down to baseball for a minute. I'm not a little frustrated with the Texas Rangers on trading Cole Hamill. It just seems like a kind of a stinker of a deal there. I mean, they got kind of a short end on that one. I don't know if it's just something to be said about the Rangers themselves and how bad that ball club has been for the past few years, or if Hamill, I mean, Hamill's is just tearing it up right now. I mean, he is just an ace. And it's just frustrating as a Rangers fan, obviously, but, you know, I just wanted to get your take on that and what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, I think it's a byproduct of where the Rangers are now. I don't think it's a statement about the club overall as a whole. It wasn't that long ago this team was going to back-to-back World Series, and no doubt that's the goal. I think the Rangers are not, they're not an organization that you could accuse of tanking or of not caring about the big picture and of winning. But if you think about where they are right now and how difficult not just the AL West is, but how difficult the American League is overall at the top, there's no way they were going to do anything. So kind of hoping that they could get something in return, certainly frustrating. But the Rangers aren't the first team to have gone through this at the trade deadline. It's always the fans who suffer when a move like this is made. But I don't believe this is the end for the Rangers. It's just a really difficult season for them. And I know with a passionate fan base that the front office will want to do well by the fans and by the organization. So if you can hang in there, it's not over yet, Jonathan, and maybe you can root for Cole Hamels as a member of the Cubs, as hard as that would be.
I guess we'll just hold on to our butts and wait for the new stadium.
Yes, there you go. Hold on to your butt, Jonathan. Thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. And Dallas, gotta let you go because we're here at the top of the hour.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.